Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a moment, you'll be listening to an encouraging message that I recently shared with our church family at Holt Assembly of God. The message you'll be hearing today is entitled The Bread of Life. Jesus said that he was the bread that came from heaven. Bread is also a way the Bible uses to describe the inspired Word of God. God's Word is like bread to our spirit, and it nourishes our inner being. In this message, I want to encourage you to read and study God's Word, the bread of life, so that it can bring nourishment to your soul. I pray that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message.
So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to 2 Timothy. I'm going to be in chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want to talk to you this morning about daily bread, our daily bread. And there is a movement in Christianity concerning the inerrancy of God's Word, the Scriptures. There are Christians who claim Jesus as Savior, but they deny the inerrancy of Scripture. Some believe the Bible is a good book, but it contains some inaccuracies or contradictions. Others believe the Bible is a good book, it's a moral guide, but it's inerrant because there are scientific impossibilities that are in the text of God's Word. They say, I can't believe that God's Word is inerrant because there are scientific impossibilities. Are you following me? Example, some believe that it's scientifically impossible for a man to survive in the belly of a fish. I agree. It's scientifically impossible. I also believe that it's scientifically impossible for the sun to stand still. I also believe that it's scientifically impossible for a man to walk on water. I also believe that it's scientifically impossible for a man to be resurrected from the dead and live forevermore. I also believe that it's impossible, scientifically impossible, for a sea to part and for thousands of people to pass through on dry ground. But with God, all things are possible, amen? With God, all things are possible. And listen, I don't allow science to dictate my faith and my belief and my trust in God's Word. Amen? Amen? Some of you start to worry there for a second, didn't you? It's scientifically impossible. It's okay. But that does not change what God's Word says and what I believe it says to us. And I can trust it because I believe it's inerrant. It just proves this. It doesn't prove when we say that there are scientific impossibilities listed in God's Word. All that proves is this: God is bigger than our intellect. God is bigger than our understanding. It just proves that God is bigger than our limited knowledge. The Bible says again, with men it is impossible, with God all things are possible. The God of this Bible is that God can accomplish that which is scientifically impossible. Aren't you glad that you serve a God that's bigger than science? I believe the Scriptures are inerrant. And any so-called contradictions that exist are because of our own misinterpretations or basically because of our limited intellect. This is what we believe about the Scriptures. The Scriptures, both the Old Testament and the New Testaments, are verbally inspired of God and are His revelation to man, the infallible, authoritative rule of faith and conduct. As a church, as a pastor, that's what we believe. The Scriptures, both the New Testament and the Old Testament, are verbally inspired of God and are His revelation to man. They are infallible, authoritative rule of faith and conduct. That means this, that they're just not words on a page. They dictate how we live our lives because they are the words that God has spoken. We have them in recorded form here. 2 Timothy 3:16. Look at this, verse 16. All Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is what the Bible says about itself. This is what the Scriptures declare. They're self-revelation. They say of themselves that they are inspired. The Scriptures are a self-revelation of the one true God. He's making this declaration to mankind. What I've spoken, what you have in Scripture, what is written is inspired. It's trusted. It's trustworthy. It's from my mouth. That word inspiration Paul uses is the Greek word. When you look at it in the Greek, it's God breathed. It's God breath. That as he spoke, as he speaks is a breath from his, it's inerrant, it's perfect, it's infallible. It's his revelation to us. There's one shortcoming to the scriptures, one, the person who's reading them. Because we can get off base with the scriptures. We can misinterpret them. We can misunderstand them. We can allow traditions. We can allow what we've been taught, what's been passed down to us, to interfere with what God really says in his word. So that's the limitation, or that's the weakness that the word of God has. But the word of God itself is infallible. It's accurate. It's inerrant. 2 Peter 1:10, knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. We don't interpret the Bible, it interprets us. Because here's the deal. Have you ever heard anyone say this? That you read the Bible or your discussing a topic, well, that's not how I interpret it. That's because the interpretation belongs to God, amen? Because in this room, we can have a scripture, we can have 50 different opinions. But God's word is what it says, it is what it is. And so we have to be very careful when we're studying scripture, especially to lay scripture upon scripture. The Bible was once the cornerstone of education, even in schools of higher learning. Did you know Ivy League schools such as Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Columbia, Brown, and Dartmouth were all schools of divinity? All of them were schools of divinity. All of them taught the inerrancy of Scripture. Today, in those same universities, the Scripture, the idea that the Scriptures are inerrant, it's a fairy tale. It's no longer an accepted view. It's considered a fairy tale. Many Christian universities, the same view is taking place in the body of Christ. The Bible is considered a great literary work. It's something that we compare to Shakespeare, but it's not considered inerrant. Now, can you imagine as a parent sending your kid to college, a Bible college, a Christian college, wanting them to have a foundational teaching of biblical principles, only to find out that institution of higher learning does not promote a view of inerrancy, the inerrancy of Scripture? Boy, that was a mouthful. I don't know why I couldn't get that out. I would say, I want my money back. I want my money back. If you send, I know there's great education, but you send kids to Christian college for a reason, and it should not be on those campuses that the inerrancy of God's word is called into question. That's the last place you should find that. Since the beginning of human history, Satan has sought to undermine God's word as authoritative and infallible. Look at Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said? Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Look what Satan does. Is that what God said? Is that really what he said from the very beginning? He's trying to delegitimize God's word. And for centuries, Satan has attempted to undermine the authority of God's word. And guess what? He's going to continue to do so. He's going to continue to cast doubt upon God's word because he understands this. Once we eliminate God's word as perfect, as inerrant, then it's a downward spiral from there. And so if he can devalue, if he can de-emphasize or whatever, he can delegitimize God's word, then he has won the battle. Because what we'll do is, and this is what we do in today's world, even more in this world today, you know, you don't have to say anything public that is true anymore. You don't have to. In fact, if you want to disprove somebody, if you want to cause a stink, so to speak, all you got to do is cast doubt anymore. The burden of innocence, the presumption of innocence is gone. And we saw that clearly displayed. Now we are guilty until proven innocent. Today, if you can successfully cast doubt and influence public opinion, especially if you get on social media, it will go on its own. It will take care of itself. And that's the world we live in. And so if you don't think God's word is under fire, then you're fooling yourself. It is. It's in the crosshairs. It's always been in the crosshairs. And from the beginning, what did Satan do? He tempted the woman, but yes, what did he do? Did God really say this? If it's on Facebook, even if it looks like a legitimate, it's not always true. It's not always true. And listen, you have to give that same presumption of innocence. Okay, if you want to prove a point, then you have to study. But if you want to read a story on Facebook, just because it looks like it's from a reputable source doesn't mean it's correct. That's why we're in a big mess that we're in today. Words do matter. Words do matter. And all I'm saying is this, is if you're going to make a stand on something, make sure it's right. Make sure it's right. Do your homework. Do not rely on one Facebook story. Lord, have mercy. All you have to do to prove your point today is sow seeds of doubt, because people will fall for anything. And if this is true for many Christians, we've placed our hopes, we've placed our trust in man's opinions rather than what God's word says. We have to be very careful, church. Guard yourselves. Guard yourselves against this world, because this world, we are at an enmity. It's at enmity with the things of God. If you ever believe this world is going to be friendly with you, you're fooling yourself. If the world couldn't get along with Jesus, how do you think it's going to get along with us? Church, are the scriptures authoritative in your daily life and faith? That's the question I want you to ask yourself this morning. Is God's word authoritative in my life, both my daily life and my faith life? God, speaking through 40 writers, compares scriptures to a variety of everyday subjects, circumstances that help us understand the purpose of scripture in our lives. For example, Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is what? Living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. What's the writer of Hebrews trying to do? He's trying to help us understand how God's word operates. It's inspired of God, the inspired word of God. He wants us to know it's more than ink on pages. It's alive. It has life, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God is like a sword, yes, but specifically he's saying the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. The emphasis is not so much on the sword, it's on the sharpness of that sword. And so what does it do? What does the living, sharp word of God do? He goes on to tell us. It pierces even to the division of soul and spirit, and of the joints and of marrow, and is a discerner, here it is, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is so powerful, it's living, it's able to penetrate our inner being and divide what belongs to soul and what belongs to spirit. Once divided, discernment. True discernment can happen. That word discern in the Greek means to distinguish what belongs to your earthly man and what belongs to your spirit man. What God has said, what God has promised. See, if we don't separate those two, has God really said that? Did God really mean that? It comes into question. But when you allow the word of God to penetrate your heart, when you allow it to distinguish, to discern, when you're able to lay yourself bare and allow it to judge your heart, you will clearly know what's of the spirit and what's of the flesh. Another example we see, God's word declaring what itself is like. Psalms 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet and what? A light to my path. The psalmist compares the word of God as a lamp, which is a light to use to lighten a darkened path. And the word of God is the same way. It illuminates our path. It shows us dangers. It helps us stay on the desired path. The word of God gives us guidance. It gives us comfort. It gives us discernment. It gives us counsel. Another example, Jeremiah 23:9. Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks rocks in pieces. Jeremiah compares the word of God as fire. And if you read the preceding verses, you'll understand what he's talking about. It's like fire shut up in his bones, in the prophet's bones. It's like fire shut up in him. And when he releases it, it then becomes like a hammer, and it can smash. Smash what? It can smash the stubbornness of our hearts. It can smash the pride of our hearts. And so the word of God is like a hammer. It can break things to pieces. There are so many comparisons throughout God's word. We can go on and on. I want to just focus on one. The one I want to focus on is bread. The word of God is like bread. How many of you love bread? I am a bread person. Bread is a staple food, isn't it? Bread is a staple food because it's something that's routinely, it's something routinely eaten by people because it gives a high source of energy and it gives them a lot of nutrients. It's a staple food. And throughout the word of God, the inspired word of God, God's word is called bread. It's a spiritual staple as well. See, bread to our bellies, bread to our flesh. Bread is a food that is good to our bodies, but spiritual bread. The Word of God is to our spirit, and it gives our it's a staple food to our spirit. Look at Exodus chapter 16, verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will bring what? Bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather," look at this, "a certain quota every day." A certain quota every day. Now here's the spiritual connotation here. Check this out. This is one we overlook. "That I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not." A man just gone getting bread. Bread falling from heaven. Bread's falling from heaven. Crackers, wafers, hot bread, yeast bread. I don't know what it is. It's falling from heaven. But God says this, "I'm going to test them. I'm going to test them whether they will walk in my law or not." What is God saying to Moses? Daily provision. I'll give them a daily provision of bread. Remember, bread from heaven. I'll give them a daily provision, a gathering. So God required them to gather a daily portion. A daily portion, it would test their faith as well. What does Jesus say about daily bread? Matthew 6:11, "Give us this day our daily bread." I understand Jesus is talking about provision, but he's not limited to physical provision as well. We limit that to physical provisions. He's speaking beyond that into spiritual necessities as well. As we saw with Moses and with the words of Jesus, God wants to sustain us daily from his word, daily bread. And I understand the Spirit gives life. Amen. The Spirit gives life. But Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you are what? Spirit and life." God wants to sustain you daily, both spiritually and physically. And the Word of God is our daily bread. It's a daily bread from God. 1 Timothy 4:6, "If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of good doctrine which you have carefully followed." The scriptures are God's word. They are daily bread to our spirit. The Word of God is alive, and it nourishes our spirit man, which is alive to God now. And we need that daily provision from God's word. If you're like me, you can see that I am well nourished. Well nourished. Every time I put on my clothes, I'm thinking I'm well fed. But what about my spirit man? Is my spirit man being fed? And if it's not being fed, then I'm not being nourished spiritually. I'm ineffective. I'm weak. When people say this, "I'm leaving that church because I'm not being fed." You know what I have to say? Bull loney. And I said it correctly. Amen. Emphasize bull and loney. That's bull, whatever you want to say, and baloney added to it. "I'm not being fed" is one of the dumbest things you'll ever hear in church. Here's why. Maybe, just maybe, if that poor undernourished saint would just go and eat for themselves, they would be well nourished. Well, it's the pastor's job to feed the sheep. No, it's not. Where do you get that from? The pastor, the shepherd, leads you besides the, he leads you to green pastures. You got to eat. You ever gone out and seen sheep and the shepherd's out there getting bundles of grass and then shoving it into the sheep's mouth? That's not what Scripture says. You lead the sheep into pastures where they can eat. And listen, if the Word of God is preached, and sometimes it's just a stylistic thing. We don't like the style or whatever. But you can't say you're not being fed because that just means you're not eating. I believe it's my job as a pastor to point you to a place to find green pastures. And you'll find green pastures in God's Word. Amen? You will find your soul is nourished. Look what Jesus said in John 6:51. "I am the living bread." Think about what God said to Moses. Jesus said, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." Verse 52, "The Jews therefore quarreled amongst themselves, saying, 'How can this man give us his flesh to eat?' Then Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you," look at this. He really messed with them, didn't he? He knows what they're saying already. Then he says to them, "Most assuredly," you can guarantee this, buddy, bank on it, "I say to you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." But he's not saying you're eating his physical being. There's a spiritual connection here. And we understand that Jesus is the Word of God. I tell Jenny this all the time. I'm so hungry, I'm going blind. And she'll look at me and says, what does that mean? And it just means I'm telling her this, I'm so hungry that I'm losing my strength, I can't even see. And you need to pull into that restaurant and get me a cheeseburger right now. That's what I'm saying. Bacon cheeseburger, please. Some of us get so spiritually weak, that we are blind. We are blind to see, and that's what we need to eat. That's why we need to eat the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life, but he's also called the Word of God. Amen? John 1, 2. It says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Skip down to verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Clearly, Jesus is the Son of God, but we also recognize him as the Word of God. And he said, well, the Word made flesh. When we consume the Word of God, we are taking in Jesus. Jesus was using a figure of speech is what he was doing. He was using a figure of speech when he said, you must eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. He was not speaking of that literal sense. And in that context, he was expressing, and he's speaking of the bread of life is what he was doing in that context. God's word is bread from heaven. And you need to eat of that bread or you become weak. Taking in bread from heaven is nourishment to your spirit. I'd like to challenge everyone in here to make a commitment to read your Bible, to read it daily. If you're going to eat breakfast, then you should be reading your Bible. If you're going to eat lunch, read your Bible. If you're going to eat dinner, if you're going to have a snack, listen, if you're going to take care of this body, then you have to take care of your inner man, amen? I believe God wants to sustain us daily with a daily word. And that's why we need to sit down at some point and read God's word. If we can, again, take the time to nourish our bodies, why can't we take the time in our day to nourish our spiritual bodies? You know, we now, you can do this. And if you're like me, this happens a lot. I can take my phone. If I'm in Jenny's car, it syncs automatically with her system. And I can just listen to the Bible. How many, sometimes that's, there's nothing wrong with that. For some of you, that might be more effective. You can plug it in. However, you can be wherever you're at. If you have the Bible app on your phone, you can listen to God's word. We don't have many excuses these days. We can eat in a lot of places at a lot of times, at different times. And what I mean, you can eat spiritually. But the point is this, sometimes we neglect our spiritual man and we become weak. And when we become weak, we make mistakes. And when we become weak, we begin to lose hold of God's promises. When we become weak, we don't feel like worshiping. There's a number of things it does when we become weak. And that's why daily bread is so important. Daily bread sustains us. Matthew 4, 3, now the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become what? Bread. I don't think that's by accident. What is Satan saying? If you're God in the flesh, and if you're so hungry, why don't you turn these stones into bread and survive? But what did Jesus say? See, he's appealing to the natural man. Jesus answered and said to him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but from every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's life. That's how we're sustained. Amen? Satan appealed to the nourishing of the flesh. Jesus refers to the nourishing of the spirit. The word of God is Jesus. And I get that. The word of God is also that which has been spoken from the mouth of God. And we are to eat. We are to dine. We are to take that in on a daily basis. And you say, well, Pastor, you know, what about our spirit, the Holy Spirit? And he is. He encourages. He empowers. But listen, for your spirit, are you following me? Your human spirit needs to be nourished. It needs to be built up. It needs to be encouraged. You know, that's why you can have, as I mentioned last week, the Holy Spirit's in you, but he's feeling a million miles away. Why is that? Because your spirit, man, has become weakened inside of you. Too many malnourished saints in the body of Christ today. I want to encourage you to eat from God's word. Eat from God's word. I told you this wasn't going to be deep today. We are a Pentecostal church, but some Pentecostals, we place a higher value on our spiritual experiences. Are they important? 100%. Do you not think the baptism in the Holy Spirit is an important experience? It absolutely is. It's a promise from God. And dynamic services may be an emphasis. but less time preaching and teaching and leading flocks to a place where there are green pastures. And that must be done, and that's what I want to do for you here today. Get into God's word and eat it, amen? Consume it. It's what he told the prophet, is it not? Take the scroll and eat it. What's he saying? Digest, get into God's word, feed upon it. I remember when I got saved, no one had to tell me this. I don't know what happened. I don't know why it just dawned on me. I just was hungry for God. Got saved and began to read a bunch of God's word. The pastor didn't tell me to do it. I just did it on my own. Church, we just got to get hungry for God. What is the old saying? Give a man a fish, you fed him for a day. Teach a man how to fish, you fed him for a lifetime, correct? Go eat. Go eat. Get into God's word and eat. The words that he speaks unto us, they are spirit and they are life. Let me do this. If I were to take a poll in here, you don't have to raise your hand. If I were to take a poll and ask you if you've eaten in the last 24 hours, most of you would raise your hand. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, snack, something. In the last 24 hours, most of you would raise your hand. Yeah, I've eaten some food in the last 24 hours. But how many of you have eaten spiritual food in the last 24 hours? I don't know about you. When I go 24 hours, I get hungry. You know, some people love the fast. They're demonic. They're stupid. I hate the fast. I hate it. My body's like, no. What do you want to do that for? What do you want to mess things up for? And so that first 24 hours, man, I'm full of the devil. You know what I'm saying? I get a headache. I want to be left alone. And my body goes in the shop because, I like to take care of my body. I like to nourish my body. It says chocolate. If it says bread, mashed potatoes, gravy, steak, anything, it loves it. When I'm hungry, I'll eat anything. It's amazing. Jenny says kale, Brussels sprouts. I'm like, all right, let's eat. We can put enough butter on it, make it good. Butter makes everything better, just like bacon. How many of you have eaten from God's word in the past 24 hours? Church, this ought not to be for us, amen? Let's just be honest. It should not be for us. It should not be in a habit of us. And I understand, I'm not trying to get religious or dogmatic about this. I understand we have times where things happen. But if we continually go day after day and we have not consumed God's word, then there's a problem. This ought not to be. Isaiah 55:2. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. And look, and so we know this is what is appealing to the soul. And let your soul delight itself in abundance. Church, the word of God should be consumed daily. And the benefits are this: it delights your soul, it delights your inner man, it strengthens you, it encourages you. Job 23:12. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. What's Job saying? The word of God is more important than food. Look at Joshua, what Joshua says in Joshua 1:8. This book of the law, this is what God says to Joshua. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. That means you've made that effort to hide God's word in your heart, because listen, what is in the heart comes out of the mouth. You got to hide God's word in your heart. You got to conceal it in your heart. You shall, when it comes, it shall not depart from your mouth. Why shall it not depart? It's already in your heart. But you shall meditate in it day and night. Daily consumption, spiritual food, that you may observe to do what is according to all that is written in it. For then, after you've read God's word, after you get it in your heart, then you will make your ways prosperous, and then you will have good success. How many of you want to be prosperous? I'm not talking about crazy televangelists prospering, okay? You want to prosper. Prosperity is a good thing. We've perverted it, amen? We've allowed certain people to pervert it. God's prosperity, God's blessing on your life, you should all want that upon your life. And good success. Don't you want to be successful? If not, then I'm in the wrong church. I don't know about you. I think it's a testimony when God's people are blessed, when God's favor is upon their lives. I want to be successful in all my ways. And I believe God wants to prosper his people, his children. But we have to get this word into our heart, into our life. We have to eat it, consume it, digest it, get it into our soul, get it into our spirit. Isn't it amazing how you can be wide awake and then all of a sudden you begin to read the word of God, you're 5 minutes, You know what you need to do? Pray. Listen, don't give God the leftovers of your time either. If you know you're going to be sleeping when you read it, then read it at a time when you know you're going to be awake. If you know that 11:30 at night is not a good time for you, then you shouldn't read the Word of God at 11:30 at night. Find that time, that place where you can meditate on God's Word, where you can take it in, where you can eat it. And then not only that, read it, you must apply it to your life. Boy, that's the important part. Excuse me, you can't eat a healthy meal. Today, I can't go out and eat a healthy salad and expect instant health. If that was the case, I'd eat garbage all the time and have a healthy meal every once in a while. Why do we expect that from God's Word? So you got to get God's Word into your heart, amen? You have to consume it. It has to become a part of you. Meditate on it. It's not, listen, some people put more emphasis on reading a horoscope. Christians, reading a horoscope and looking to it, it goes beyond me. It boggles my mind. Well, I'm just curious. I just think it's funny. Are you spending that much time reading God's Word? The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and life. It's not, is it more important than reading the Wall Street Journal? No. Social media, how much time do you spend reading social media posts? You know, it's amazing. So I finally got a new phone, and the new phone has this feature on it that tells you how much time you've been on this. You should really look at how much time you spend on this, and you can break down how much time you spend on what app. You know what? If you spend more time on those other apps than that Bible app is zero, don't you think that's a problem? That FaceTime, how much time are you putting this thing in front of you? You know, if you're not into smartphones, then you got one of these possibly. If you're to log your TV time, church, I'm just trying to say this. And when we wonder why we're weak, why God feels distant, why we feel undernourished, why I don't feel fed, maybe we're eating other things that won't satisfy us. John 6:30. Therefore they said to him, "What sign will you perform then, that we may see and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. The manna you received in the desert, it was a type and the shadow of things to come. It nourished your physical body, but it didn't take care of your spiritual body." And when Jesus came down, he said, "I am the bread of life." He'll take care of not only your spirit, your fleshly body, but your spiritual body as well. But you have to eat. You have to partake of him. The bread from heaven. Jesus is the bread of life. He is the Word of God. And when you read the Word of God, when you meditate on God's Word, you're taking in Christ into your life. I know the Holy Spirit is in us. And I know he's transforming us into the image of Christ. And he's empowering us. But you need to nourish your spirit in that case. You need to, as the Spirit of God will give you power, you had to feed your spirit. This works together. Remember, just having the Holy Spirit in you is just part of the equation. Having the Holy Spirit in you does not necessarily transform you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because if so, every person in here would be perfect by virtue of indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, I still struggle with my flesh. Do you not? Why is that? Well, because you have to yield to the Holy Spirit. You want to yield to the Holy Spirit? You want to be more obedient to the Holy Spirit? Read God's Word. Nourish your spirit. Encourage your spirit. When you do that, you become stronger spiritually. Then you're like this, all right, I understand what God's trying to do here. I understand what God's trying to say here, and I yield myself to that transforming power. But you've got to feed your spirit. You've got to have that living Word of God, that sword of the Spirit, piercing, dividing what belongs to your soul and your spirit. That's when transformation takes place. If you've got it all mixed up and muddled up, transformation, I was going to say transportation. Transformation will never take place. I promise you this, if you read your Bible daily, it'll change you. I don't know how many businessmen I've heard. They'll Christian businessmen, successful, have taken people on their own. What did you do to be successful? I read God's Word. If you want to be successful in business, read God's Word. Allow its principles to become part of who you are. Let them guide your life. Let them take part, allow them to guide you in every part of how you handle relationships, how you handle business, how you handle customers, how you handle each other. If we allow the Word of God, and I'm just taking business as an example, but even if your job is in customer service, you have to deal with people. Most of you have to deal with people in your jobs. Some of you have to interact with people more than I have to. It's tough, isn't it? That's why you need God's Word. Hey, listen, if you're going to reflect Christ, if you're going to be light in darkness, you need the Word of God in you. I promise you, if you will consume the Word of God daily and nourish your spirit, the benefits for you, for this church, for your family, for the community, it's exponential. But you have to eat.
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I pray that you are blessed and your faith encouraged. If you're not attending a house of worship and you are looking for a church home, I want to invite you to come worship with us on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our family night. We have ministry opportunity for all ages, children, youth, and adults. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. Our phone number is 850-537-8351. Or our web address is www.holtag.org. Or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, may God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.